Welcome to another reading in the book of Luke. We've been reading the book of Luke through the lens of the parable of the sower. Today we're going to do the same thing again. In the parable of the sower, Jesus says, this is what it means. He says, the seed is the word of God, and those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Today we're going to see in the context of another parable what that looks like. For the word of God to be snatched away so that people won't believe and be saved. And Jesus continues, this is those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy, but when they hear it, they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Today we're going to look at the positive side of this. People who do not fall away in spite of the time of testing and problems. And similarly, it says the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Likewise, we're going to look at a handful of guys who, they actually produce the fruit of the kingdom. Life's cares, riches, and pleasures, they don't choke out the word. And instead, we see this is what happens. The seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart. They hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So let's dive into our next parable. In this parable, we're going to see the word of God sown and producing fruit, as well as the word of God sown and being snatched away and being unfruitful. And then the promise of what awaits for those who are unfruitful. Here in chapter 20, we find Jesus in Jerusalem and actually in the temple courts where he is teaching and preaching the gospel. You might think about what is this gospel? And I direct your attention to the beginning of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The gospel is this: the kingdom of God is at hand. It's just around the corner. Now is your opportunity to quit the rebellion against the king, swear your allegiance to the king's son, and enter into the kingdom. And all will be well if you will, but all will not be well if you don't. That's the gospel. There is an edge to this. He says that the axe is already at the root of the tree. This is issue of producing the fruit of the kingdom is paramount. And if we will not, be prepared to have the tree cut down. It's ironic because the very people that you would expect to respond to the message of the gospel turn out to be people who they reject it, says the chief priests, the teachers of the law, together with the elders. They come up to him and they are questioning him, by what right are you cleansing the temple? Who gave you the authority to act as the prophet that like you're acting? Interestingly, Jesus doesn't answer their question directly. He directs them to the fact that they have rejected John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's message was the same as our Lord Jesus. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Believe the good news. And so he just says to them, he says, well, I will answer you if you answer me, John the Baptist. Was his message from God or was it from man? And the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the elders, they decided that they would just play the we don't know card. And so they said just that. We don't know where his authority came from or yours, by the way, they would have followed up. And so Jesus responds by just saying, well, if you don't know, then I'm not going to answer your question either. It's on the heels of that kind of a debate or that questioning that Jesus tells this next parable. And here's the parable. Jesus said, a man planted a vineyard. He rented it to some farmers, and then he went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him. But when the tenants saw the son, they talked the matter over. This is the heir, they said. Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they threw him out of the vineyard and they killed him. Let's pause for a moment here and think about this parable through the lens of the parable of the sower. In this parable, we see what it looks like for the word of God to be sown and then for it to be snatched away. Can you see it in this parable? So here we see the word of God sown and then snatched away. Look at this. It said, a man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. That's like the word of God being planted and sown. Here's the planting. This is my vineyard. Tend my vineyard for me. That's the planting. Now the question is, will that word sown be fruitful? Hopefully at this point we are rooting for the owner, not for the tenants. Hopefully we're just seeing that it's just a matter of justice. The owner owns the vineyard. He invites the tenants to come and to share in the vineyard, and he expects to reap his harvest from the vineyard. But then we see the word of God, the word sown, the word of God snatched away. It said at harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. Well, the word sown was the man planted the vineyard. He went away to, planted the vineyard, leased it to the tenants, and he anticipated his fruit when he came back. But the tenants beat the servant instead of sending him back with the fruit and sent him away empty-handed. The servant sows the word. The servant shows up and he says the owner is ready to receive some of the fruit of his vineyard. But even that word is snatched away by the enemy. You can tell because the tenants don't respond by giving the fruit that the owner is looking for. They beat the servant up and send him away empty-handed. Well, the owner sows more word. He sends another servant with the same message, the message that the owner rightfully deserves the fruit of the vineyard. Produce the fruit for the kingdom. But that one they also beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. That's what it looks like for the word of God to be sown and then is snatched away by the enemy. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him. And the son, he shows up with the same message. Produce the fruit of the kingdom. Give what is rightfully due to the king. But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over, and they said, this is the heir. Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. If you want to see a snapshot of what it looks like for the word of God to be sown and then just to be snatched away by Satan, well, that's illustrated very well in the tenants. They rebelled against the king. In spite of the insistence of the owner to give him the fruit of the vineyard, they beat them, sent them away empty-handed, treated them shamefully, wounded them, and then eventually killed the son. That's what it looks like to not produce the fruit of the kingdom. Of course, in this very story, we see what it looks like to produce the fruit, don't we? Because there are some people who actually are faithful to the assignment of the owner. Yeah, look at that. The servants, they go ahead and they go and do what the owner requires. They show up and they say, it is time to give the fruit to the owner. And we see servant after servant that are not so concerned about whether there is trouble or persecution associated with their message. They're faithful to it. So in spite of the fact that some of their predecessors were beaten and treated shamefully and thrown out, they still are faithful to the word planted in their life. They go and they deliver this message. The fruit belongs to the owner. Give the owner the fruit his due. So in that context, we see what it looks like to not have trouble and persecution choke out the word. The servants are faithful in spite of trouble and persecution. We see what it looks like to not have the cares of life, the riches and pleasures of life choke out the word. We see the servants, they leave the comfort of their position with the owner. They go on their own, endure the hardships associated with their assignment, and they fulfill their assignment. And of course, so does the son. We see the son who doesn't consider his position with the owner, the father, something to be clung to, but he lays that down, and he takes the form of just one of like the other servants that have gone ahead of him. And he also issues the gospel. He lays down the opportunity to produce the fruit of the kingdom, give the owner what the owner is due. And he does this even to the point of laying his own life down. In this parable, we see that the tenants, they don't like their position as being tenants. They want to be owners. They want the fruit of the vineyard. They wanted to see it as theirs. And so, for whatever reason, they believe that if they killed the son, then, well, the owner won't have an heir, and so they will just, eventually, they will inherit the vineyard themselves. But then Jesus continues with the story, and he describes what it's like for those who refuse to produce the fruit of the kingdom, who will not be tenants of the vineyard, but instead insist on rebelling against the owner. Jesus says this, he says, "What then will the owner of the vineyard do to those who have treated his servant shamefully and eventually killed his son?" Jesus says, "He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others." The idea is that to others who will then produce the fruit of the vineyard for the owner. Now, the people standing around, they heard this. They said, "May this never be. Surely the owner's never going to take the vineyard away from those he's entrusted into their care." But Jesus says, that's exactly what's going to happen. If you reject the Son, then you lose the kingdom. He says, he looks directly at them and he says, then what's the meaning of what was written in the Psalms? "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but on him who falls, it will be crushed." Let's try to take on the role briefly of the tenants. Let's think about sitting in their shoes and where we have acted this way. God sows the word of correction in our life, saying, "Hey, produce the fruit of the kingdom. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price." But it's possible to reject the correction. It's possible to despise the messengers and treat them shamefully. That's what it looks like to hear the word of God and not repent of our rebellion, and to continue in the rebellion and therefore not produce the fruit of the kingdom. All right, let's try a different side of that. Let's see ourselves as the servants who are going to a rebellious world. You know plenty of people who are living in rebellion to the king. And they bring the message of the gospel, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Now is our chance to repent of our self-ruled lives and enter the kingdom. That simple message. We have the authority of that from the king, but we don't come with a stick. All we come with is the message of the gospel, the invitation, the opportunity to repent. If we're faithful servants, we actually go to the rebels. And we go to the rebels knowing that perhaps we're going to be hated and despised because we are offering the correction we're offering. And we go to the rebels knowing that by focusing on bringing the message of the kingdom to others, it means that we cannot be consumed with our own cares. We cannot be consumed with life's riches that distract us and life's pleasures. We're going to have to say, "Hey, there's something of greater value to be done here than just take care of my stuff, increase my wealth, and be comfortable. I've got to be like one of these servants who take the message of the kingdom to the rebels and offer them the chance to turn from the rebellion." As God's servants, prepare to be misunderstood, just like our Lord was. As God's servants, with your offer of correction, with the insistence that those around us must repent and believe the good news, prepare to be accused of all kinds of evil things. Jesus quotes, or at least he alludes to, a passage out of Isaiah 8, where Isaiah is going through this himself. Isaiah brings the word of God to the people of his day. It's a word of correction. And of course, they hate and they despise it because he's insisting that they need to be loyal to God and not worry so much about the kingdoms of the world around them. And they accuse Isaiah of all kinds of treacherous things. But God says to Isaiah, I don't want you to consider conspiracy and treason to be the same things that those around you consider them. The bottom line, God says, is fear me, keep my commands, and I'll be a sanctuary to you. And God continues, he goes on to talk about that he will be a stumbling block to those who insist on living as rebels to the king, who won't give the king the king's due. So back to the parable of the sower, that the farmer sows the word. We see the word being sown here. We see it in the context of the servants who are faithful and produce the fruit of the kingdom, and we see it in terms of the tenants who despise the word, they do not produce the fruit of the kingdom, and their future is one of destruction. May God soften our hearts to hear the correction that he brings. As he brings, as we just read the word of God, as he brings, as a brother or sister corrects us, or even an enemy corrects us. But that we'll hear his correction, turn from any rebellion that's going on, and offer our lives to him as an offering. And may God open our eyes to see it really is an honor to bring his message of good news that the kingdom of God is coming. Justice will be done, injustices will be dealt with, and that life in his kingdom is the life that he intended and promised from the very beginning, that we will bring that message of hope and life and good news to a rebellious world. May God open the doors for us to do just that. God bless.